Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Vav. We are holding out the Mishnah, which is 11 lines off the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Bas Yisrael, a Yiddish woman, Lo Tiyaled Es Ha'ived Es Kechavim. She should not assist in the birthing of a Goyish woman, because she's assisting in the birth of a new idol worshiper. So she's not meant to lend a hand to that. But, Aval, a Goyish woman, she could help a Yiddish woman do that. And we're not concerned that she'll harm the newborn child, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Likewise, regarding nursing, Bas Yisrael Leitonik, Bino Shilavedes Kechavim, a Yiddish woman should not be, should not serve as a nursemaid, should not nurse a newborn guy, for the same reason as the previous halacha, Ava Levedes Kechavim, Mainika Bino Shal Yisrael, but you can have a Goyish woman nursing a Yiddish newborn, Birshusa, if it's in the Rishos, meaning if it's in the presence of the Yiddish woman, so she's on the watch, which eliminates any concern of safety issues. Tanur Rabbanan, so we learned in a Braisa, Bas Yisrael, a Yiddish woman, she should not help a Goyish woman in the birthing process. Why? Because she's helping bring about a new idol worshiper. Oh, here in the Braisa we have a different shita than the Mishnah. Here we don't allow a Goyish woman to serve as a midwife for a Yiddish woman, because it's imperiling the newborn. They are suspected of shvichos damim, and that endangers the newborn. Divrei Rav Meir. So according to Rav Meir, we can't allow a Goyish woman to serve as a midwife. They disagree. It all depends on the circumstance. Depends if there are others around, if we're under surveillance, which would preempt any concern of foul play. A Goyish midwife, she can help a Yiddish woman. When we have others standing around and looking out to ensure that everything is done in order. But not in private for concern of the child's safety. That's the Chacham Shita. So in private, of course not. But when we're under watch, that serves as a deterrent to preempt any concerns of foul play. But Rav Meir disagrees. He says in all situations, we don't allow it to serve as a midwife for a Yiddish newborn. Rav Meir Omer Afilo Cheres Im Deskaba. If you have other people standing there, Nami Loi. You shouldn't be allowing her to do that. Why? Because she could perhaps harm the child in a way that nobody will notice. The Zimnan Daman Chalei Yoda. It could happen that she'll squeeze her hand, Aputa, on his upper forehead, meaning the soft spot on the front of the child's head, and kill him that way, and it won't be noticed. She'll do it discreetly. So you're imperiling the newborn by allowing the Goyish midwife to be involved. As we find in the following story, Kahi Itisa, like this woman, the Amel Chavrata, who turns to her friend, two Goyish women speaking to each other, and she insults her. She says, you're a Jewish midwife. You helped the Yidden give birth. Moldo Yudayasa, Bas Moldo Yudayasa. You're a midwife who helps the Yidden give birth, a daughter of a woman who did the same. So she was pretty much belittling her. She was mocking her. And the Goyish woman, in her defense, issued a very startling statement. Amrla, she tells her adversary, what are you cursing me for? Nefishin bishta, dahi itisa, if anything, the tragedies that should befall you should be so many, like the amount of kids, newborns, that I killed. Yiddish newborns. The kamashpilim, and I destroyed from them. Dama, I spill their blood. Ki ufyu denari, like the foam on the river. So don't stop putting me down. If anything, just the opposite. No, so you see that there is that danger inherent in having a goyish midwife involved. But Rabbanon, they respond, no, she was just blowing hot air. Amrlach, they say, lohi, no, not exactly so, but Mosa Ba'alma, it's just exaggerated fluff, hudo kimta, that she employed in her defense to put her antagonist in her place, but it wasn't real, it wasn't a true reflection of any crimes that she committed. So bottom line is, in private, you can't trust the goyish midwife, but in public, Rabbanon say it's okay, and even there, Rav Meir says, keep away. Bas Yisroel leitanik. What about nursing? Tana Rabbanon, same achlekes. Bas Yisroel leitanik b'no. Shulevedes kechavim. So a Yiddish woman should not be nursing the goyish child, b'pnei she megal delas bein. Lavoid as kechavim, because she is contributing to the development of a child who's going to be Oved Avodah Zarah. Oved Zkechavim, Leitonik, Menashal, Bas Yisrael. Likewise, you shouldn't allow a Oved Zkechavim nurse to nurse a Yiddish, a newborn, because we're concerned about the child's safety. Divir Rameir. So once again, Rameir says, blank check, no involvement at all. V'chachavim, I mean, well, it depends. In private, you can't trust her. But in public, it's okay. V'chacham aymen, oybedes kechav manika es bnei shal Yisrael, Shabbos Yisrael, it's man shachiros, oymedes al gava, when you have others standing around, then you're okay because she's fearful of playing any games. Avaloi bnei lebe, no, but not in private. So according to Rabbanon, it depends on the circumstance. If there's a presence of other people, then it's okay. By the way, Tosis brings and the Mefarshim bring that it's not necessarily something we're meant to do. So he says it's not Tosis says it's not halachically forbidden, but the Mefarshim bring the Rashba brings, yeah, that it's not something you're meant to do because the newborn will actually absorb. He calls it Mekabalas Teva Ha'isha Haminika Adei Cholav. There's a concern that the newborn will absorb the personality, the characteristics of the woman who's nursing him. And therefore he says it's Midas Chasidasu Sheyinak Dafkin Bas Yisrael. It's certainly appropriate that he should be nursing from a Yiddish woman, Shetiv Atoiv, whose nature is of upstanding value, V'chelba Megadol Tevek Yitzba, and her milk will help him develop likewise, as opposed to taking from a Nachris, Shetiv Ara, lest he be affected by her personality, her essence. We find by Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He refused to nurse from anybody except for the mother, his mother, a Jewish woman. It's brought down in halacha, by the way. I think the Shach brings it that that it's, you know, it should be avoided. Okay, in any case, but in terms of imperiling the newborn's life, imperiling his safety, that's it's not an issue when we have others standing around, which you know, puts a deterrent in her way. Rameh says no. Even you have a whole crowd watching. Namilo, you still shouldn't have the goyish woman nurse the newborn. Why? The zimnan, the shayfale sama. She can smear a bit of poison, the dad on herself. Me'avroi. You know, outside the room, without anybody watching. V'katale, and that will result in the child's death. Okay, so bottom line is we have two separate discussions, but really, it's, you know, it's rooted in the same equation. Allowing a guy to birth the child, allowing a guy to nurse the child. Rabbanon say, well, in private not, for concern, for safety concerns, whereas in public it's okay. Rameir says in both cases, right? Private or public, it's not allowed for concern of imperiling the child. Now, why do we have to discuss both cases? Isn't it just a redundancy? There's a lesson inherent in each one. Each one has a chiddush. And therefore, both are important to discuss. The Ashmina Mia, let's only discuss the case of the midwife. Bahi, Kamin Rabban, perhaps, it's only there that the Rabban say the Shari that it's okay. When we are under watch, the Lay Efshar, because it's unlikely for the midwife to endanger the child because she's under surveillance. Because there were others watching her. Aval menika. But in terms of nursing, that could be done discreetly. The Efshar, the Shaifa Le Samba Dad Mavroi. Although in this room we have people. So as she's nursing, she's under watch, but perhaps she prepared that poison upon herself before she entered the room. Mi'avroi outside with Katlan, she'll kill the child. So perhaps this poses a real danger concern. Eima moidile the Rab Meir, perhaps Rabbanu would greet Rab Meir, avoid it. And that's what we have to say, that even in this case, Rabbanu allow it. It's unlikely that she would have done that, right? Because she's fearful to play games. V'yashmina menika. On the other hand, had we only discussed the case of the nursing mother, by Hikam Rab Meir, perhaps it's only there Rab Meir says, keep away. In all circumstances, Mishdo Asur, it's not allowed. Mishum de Shaifale Samladad Mavroi, because of this concern, the Shmiv applied some prior to entering the room. Aval Mialedis, but by the midwife, the Lady Efshar, where it's not possible for her to do anything when she's under watch. So perhaps over there, he would agree to Rabbanan. That it's okay. It's Richa, that's why we discuss both cases, to highlight both Shitois. So whether it's midwiving or nursing, Rabbeir says never, and Rabbanan allow if it's being done in public. Here comes Akash. V'raminu. We have Akash from our Bryce. So the Mishnah says that a Bas Yisroel, okay, now we're going to focus on Bas Yisroel, not meant to serve as a midwife for a goy. Why? Mishnah says, because Shemiyaledes Bein Lavoide Askecha. However, in this Bryce coming up, it seems that it's okay. V'raminu. Yehudis Miyaledes, right, a Yiddish woman, can serve as a midwife. V'aydes Kecha Mischar. She's getting paid for the job, but not, she's doing it as a volunteer. Apparently, she's getting paid, it's okay. I'm Rav Yosef, b'schar shari. You know why? It's different when she's getting paid, because she can't wiggle out of the job. She can't excuse herself. Look, you're getting paid. If it's being done b'chinam, she could say, look, I'm busy today, I have no time to volunteer. But if it's b'schar shari, then it's okay, mishum eva, because it's going to trigger animosity. And it could jeopardize our relationship with the goyim and cause sakana. Look, we're not going to treat them. They're not going to treat, right? Amalei Abai. Sorry. So that's the het. B'schar shor mishumeiv. Sabar Rav Yosef lemeiv. So Rav Yosef figured to take it a step further. Just like you can serve as a midwife during the weekdays to avoid animosity, to maintain our cordial relationship with the goyim. So likewise, there's a need for a Yiddish woman to serve as a midwife for a Goyish woman, on even on Shabbos. If it's Bishar, it's Shari. It's allowed for that same reason, Mishum Eva, because otherwise it can trigger a negative reaction and can bring us to Sakana. If we fail to treat them. Amar Le Abayis, Abay responded to Rav Yosef, no, not so quick. Although during the weekday, you are compelled because of the Eva concern, but on Shabbos, we can plainly excuse ourselves with religious reasons. We could say, look, Yachla Lameim Allah, she can explain to the Goyim. She could tell the woman, Didan, Dementeru Shabbato, ours, our newborns, our people who keep the Shabbos, Michalin Alayu. So although it's technically a desecration of Shabbos, but it's allowed. It's like sort of an investment, right? So our religion allows for Shabbos observers to be treated on Shabbos, even though it's at the expense of Shabbos. Right? It's like a package deal. So it justifies itself. But unfortunately, those who don't observe Shabbos, we're not allowed to treat them on Shabbos because it is deemed a desecration of Shabbos. Sorry, nothing personal against you. It's our religion. Shabbos compels us to withhold treatment. Did who yours to limit to Shabbat who don't keep Shabbos? Loi. Michalina, we can't work on Shabbos on your behalf. That's a way to get out of it without causing discontent. Continues the Gemara. What about nursing the goyish baby? If it's a professional nursemaid getting paid, is it allowed for concern of Eva? Sabar Visil Mam. So Risa figured, yeah. Anuki Bishara Shari, to nurse a goyish newborn for pay, is also permitted to Shari for that same reason, Mishum Eva, to avoid any Eva, animosity. Amar the Abai, Abai responded, once again, there's an easy excuse to get out of it, in which case it's not justified. Yachlu Lameimar. So in terms of nursing, it's a very personal thing. So the nursemaid could say, look, I'm not up to it now. Ipnu Yehi, if she's an unmarried single woman, she could say, look, right now in Shaduchim, but in Suvei, I want to get married, and this type of activity will taint my reputation, and sorry, I can't do it. Yeishes Ishi, if she's a married woman, she could say, look, Loikam is Dahamna, Bape Gavro, Gavroi, I don't want to lower myself and degrade myself in front of men, in front of my husband. Basically, it's not something I want to do right now. So there's an easy way to get out of it. In which case, it's not permitted. There's no heter. Sabar Rav Yisrael Meimar. Once again, Rav Yisrael figured to propose something regarding another brice. Hadassani. We have a brice. Ha'ayli kechavim. So the idol worshippers, V'roi behemah daka, and those who run around with the behemah daka, the goats, the sheep, the sort of light animals, and graze all over the place. Notwithstanding, property ownership, they're just all over the place and stealing from people's loy malin v'limeridin, although we don't toss them into a pit, meaning we don't actively initiate, an attack against them, but loy malin, if they're to be found in danger down a pit, we don't make the effort to salvage, to save them. So that's the standard halacha. Rav Yisrael figured, asuki b'schar shorim mishum eva. If the fellow is offering payment, right? Asuki, so to bring him out, to rescue him, b'schar, for pay, that's okay, shorim mishum eva, for that same reason, because otherwise you're going to trigger animosity, you're going to muddy our relationship with the guy, because you have no excuse for withholding your assistance if you're getting paid. Amalei Abaye, once again Abaye says, no, there's always an excuse to circumvent this. Yochalei Merloi, you can just turn and tell him, look, sorry, I'm busy, I gotta run. Koi Bria Igra, my son is waiting on the roof, he's about to fall off the roof, I gotta run and get him, sorry. Inami Or, Nikitali Zimna, I have an appointment by Doyar, by the governor, I gotta run, and I'm going to lose more than I gain from you, so that's a good excuse to withhold help. Tani Rabbi Yavo Kemed Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yavo presented a brisa to Rabbi Yechanan, which says like this, Ha'evdei kechavim, v'rei bei madaka, right, the individuals that we alluded to a minute ago, lo'y malim, right, v'lo'y meridim. So there we just leave it status quo. We don't initiate, nor do we try to save them. Aval ha'minin, those who are sort of missionaries, religious priests, and trying to, ensnare us, v'masoyrois, or even Yidden, who are informers, v'amumrim, those who seriously deviated from the Torah path, moyridin, in these cases we actually put them down there, v'loimal, and we don't take them back up. By the way, the Chazon Ish explains that this halacha is not really relevant nowadays. He says, aside from other factors, it was when the delineation between Tov and Ra, between good and bad, was so clearly visible. When, people on the whole were sort of on a good track. So we have a couple of deviators who are sort of encroaching and threatening the goodness of the population. So then the halachas apply, but when these various phenomena became so common and prevalent. So he says, there's no point. We're going to go kill everybody, right? So it's not really negeya, it's not really relevant when the world is awash with this type of phenomenon. In any case, but the Braisa does state it as an halacha. Minin, Mesoiris, and Murmurin, Meridin, Vilemal. Omalei. So Rabbi Yechanan, upon hearing this Braisa, where the Mumar is meant to be shoved into the pit, he says, Ani shoyne lechol avedas achicha. I have a drasha, a Braisa, that regarding Hashavas Aveda, lechol avedas achicha, you meant to return all your brethren, all your Avedas, all your lost items belonging to your brethren. Le Rabbis is a Mumar. Lechol is coming to include, right? Even a Mumar, even a fellow who's not on the right, or, not adhering to the Torah properly. So he returned his item, returned his lost cow. And you're telling me he meant to throw the owner into the pit? I mean, v'at amris meridin. If that were so, then why would you be obligated, if you can kill the owner, how could you be obligated to return a lost item to him, right? Okay, sami mikan mumar. So Bechan says we have to delete the last fellow, the mumar. He doesn't belong on the list. The lacha doesn't apply to him, only to the other ones. L'shan alev, why can't you just say, look, answer your question. There are different types of mumars. Kan b'mumar oichel nevelas l'ti'oven. If you have a mumar who's just unfortunately drawn to illicit behavior, he eats non-kosher food l'ti'oven to satisfy his impulses. Okay, it's bad enough, but not as bad as a fellow who's kan. The other fellow is b'mumar oichel nevelas l'hach. He's eating nevela, he's eating non-kosher food despite, just because, to express his, dissatisfaction, his opposition to our way of life. That's way worse, right? So perhaps that would explain your apparent contradiction. A fellow who's merely doing it for personal preferences, he's still somewhat connected to religion, he still somewhat adheres, he's just being drawn because of his temptations. It's not an ideological position that he's taking, right? So in that case, he's still considered in the fold somewhat, and you're obligated to look after him and his items. As opposed to the other fellow who's ideologically opposing the way of the Torah, threatening Yiddishkeit. He's in a different boat. And by him we say, Moiridin. The answer is, Kasavar, because Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbevo, why didn't Rabbevo answer this question, respond with this distinction to Rabbi Yechanan's question? The answer is, because he holds, Kasavar, he held that Oichel Nevelas L'Hachis, if a fellow is deviating purposely, in spite, Minhu, he's regarded as a min. He's so connected to the opposing religions, and he would be labeled as a min. And a min is the other guy in the Braisa, right? We had minin, mesoiros. So minin covers this type of mumar in spite as well. And apparently, the third fellow in the Braisa, mumar, is not going to be speaking about this fellow. Rather, we're speaking about a person who's being drawn after temptation because of his te'avay. And still, the Braisa seems to put him in the same boat, moiridin, which triggered Rabbi Yechanan's kasha. Why would we be chayv to return an aveda? So we got stuck. We have to delete mumar from that original list. Itmar. Okay, so on this topic of a mumar, pligibor of achav ravina, we have this machlekes, this definition machlekes between Rav Achav and Ravina. Chadamar 1 explains, liti oven mumar. If a fellow is non-compliant because of personal impulses, so he gets the label mumar. So let's say he writes a sefer Torah, you don't have to burn it. He doesn't have the status of a min. But if he does it lahachis, in spite, then he's downgraded to a min, minhavi. In which case, if he writes a sefer Torah, you have to burn it. Because he is apparently totally disconnected and lost in the world of Avodah Zarah, of other religions. In which case, it's a more serious type of situation. V'chad Omar, the other one disagrees. He says, no, afilu l'hachas nami mumar. Even if he's doing it in spite, nevertheless, he's still called a mumar. Doesn't have the same severity as a min. Ela ezehu min. So what is a min? Zeha oivid avodah zarah, one who actually is worshipping avodah zarah. Meisve, here comes a kash. Achol parosh echot. Oyutu shechot. Fellow sits down to have an insect. Parosh echot, or a yitush, a mosquito, not something that typically a person would eat out of temptation, right? He's doing it lahachas, out of spite. Harei a mumar, he's called a mumar. Asks the Gemara, v'ahachal de lahachasu. This fellow is certainly doing it, or we assume he's doing it lahachas, out of spite. Uktani Mumer, and still it's called a Mumer. This is a kasha on the opinion cited earlier that when it's done in spite, he's relegated to the status of a min. Answers the Gemara, who said he's doing it in spite? How do you know what's going through his mind? Hasam boy lemitam, he's just trying to have a taste of something which is forbidden. Okay, he's drawn after, he's excited, he's enticed by something which is forbidden. Boy lemitam tamadi isura. So he still falls under the category of litei avain. He's deviating due to temptation, in which case he certainly can still be regarded as a mumar and not a min. Amamar, let's go back and review. We said that the minin, the mesayrais, right? Moirin of leimalin, so we drop them down and we don't rescue them. Meridin of leimalin. Now, isn't that a redundancy? I mean, if you're going to throw them in there, if you're going to initiate, certainly you're not going to save them. Hashta achusim achtinin. Certainly, if we trip them in there, asukim iboye. Is there any need to tell us that you don't pull them out? I mean, it's obvious. Amar Rav Yosef bar Chama Rav Sheshes. L'nitzrucha. The second half of that statement is speaking. It's not only do you throw them in, but as Tosis points out, suppose our governance position doesn't allow us. We're not in the in control of what's going on out there, and we don't have the authority to actually initiate. Nevertheless, if he encounters one of these individuals, one of these troublemakers, by the way, the rush, the Rishonim explained that the Roye Behim Adaka, what's so terrible? I mean, he's grazing his animals, stealing some grass. He says it was such a, apparently it was such a common concern. And the Chachamim wanted to really put their foot down. They enacted a decree that, right, you're not meant to raise these animals in a Makom Yishev, right, in inhabited areas, rather out in the wilderness only. So in order to sort of maintain that that halacha, that the chiyuv. To protect property, they made this very severe. They attributed this very severe penalty, right? They applied this very severe einish to the roya behimadak. Okay, in any case, so he's down there. Says the Brisa, you can't help them out. Okay, but obviously, if theoretically, if it was possible for us to actually initiate, throw them in, we would. So certainly if you, even if you can't initiate and you find them down there, you shouldn't bring them out. Says the Gemara in Israel was speaking that you're not actually saving them. There's no question that you're not supposed to. But let's say Shem Hoysa Malvabar. There was a step to get out of the, some steps, right, to climb out of the deep pit. Megara, you can actually remove the steps, which will force him to stay in there. How do you do that without endangering yourself, you know, in the eyes of the Goyim, etc.? The Noka Le'ila, you come up with an excuse and you say, V'amar. He says, Lo Teichus Chiyus Aliyah. I don't want the, you know, my animal to climb down through the steps and end up, you know, in the pit. So as long as you have sufficient alibi to cover your actions, you're meant to do so in order to keep the troublemaker, deep below. Rav and Rav Yisam Tabai, they both have a different scenario, but a different way to explain the Braisa. When the Braisa says, Loi Malin was speaking, Lenisruch was speaking, Shem Hoysa Evan Al Piha Boyer, there was a big rock there at the mouth of the pit. Mechas, you can take the rock and just the manhole and cover the pit. By way of an excuse, Amar will say, "Look, Avuri Chayus Eliyah. I'm just trying to, you know, bring my animals around over the pit. I don't want them falling in. So this is just to protect my animals. In this way, it serves as an excuse, and then he just forgets about the troublemaker inside." Ravina Amar, he says, "We're speaking Shemayah Sulam. So even if there's a ladder there, misalking, just pick it up and run with it. Why? Omar, he says, look, I got I'm in an emergency. But you know, Chusei bring me igra. I got my son up on the igra, up on the roof. I got to help him down. So as long as he has some sort of cover story, right? So he's meant to do that in order to keep these troublemakers out of the way. Tana Rabbanan. What about a bris milah? Can you have a yid? Can you have a guy do it for a yid? Or a yid for a guy? Tana Rabbanan Yisrael mal. So evet kecham l'shem ger. A yidish a mayel can do milah on a guyish a newborn if the intention is for gerus in preparation for conversion. Lafuki, as opposed to for medical purposes, l'shem murana. Murana is some sort of a parasite, some sort of medical reason that the guy would like a bris milah, the law, you can't do that for him. Why? Rashi says we could not allow to. Bimarapi a guy bechinam, as we said earlier, mayuridim v'loy malam. So you can't offer that type of medical assistance to the oivet of a disorder. What about having a guyish mayhel for a yiddish child? V'oivet gicham lo yimoyel. Yisrael, you can't be. You can't do milah on Yisrael. V'pnei shechashudin. For that same reason, because you're imperiling the child's safety, because it might kill him as he's doing so. Once again, Chacham disagreed. They say it depends if it's in private or on public. So a guy could do milah on Yisrael when there are others around watching, which will prevent any foul play. But in private, not. Rabbi Meir says, no, even in public. It's always that concern that he might slay his hand and cut more than he's supposed to and severely injure and perhaps sterilize the child. Or even if there are others standing, normally she can't trust him with the milah. The zimun, because it could so happen. The matli l'sakin, he'll slide his hand, make him a krushavcha by cutting too deep, too far in the area. Okay, so just as we had by the midwife, by the nursing, the same issue by milah, rabbanon say, look, in private, don't trust the guy, but in public, it's okay. Rameir says, never. Asks the Gemara of a Savar Rameir, you mean to say Rameir doesn't allow a guy to do milah on a Yiddish child forever, ever? Loi, for a minute we have a kasha from a Bryce where it seems otherwise. So his fellow stuck out of town in an era city where there's no Yiddish mayel. What does he do? Comes the eighth day, what does he do? Era she'em by Reifi Yisrael, we don't have a Yiddish doctor who can do the milah. V'yeish by Reifi Kusi. You have other options available. You have a kusi. Now, a kusi was somewhat of a controversial type of individual. On the one hand, they were officially geirim, but they didn't really adhere to a Torah Shebaal Peh. They apparently did observe the mitzvah of milah, but as Rashi says, they had other things in mind. It turns out that ultimately it was discovered that on Har Gerizim, which is their camp over there, they discovered a form of a yoin of a dove, which served as their idol. So it's pretty clear that they have other things in mind. And even if they did a milah on their child, it was saturated with inferior motives and intentions of avodah zarah. So which way should you go? You're between a rock and a hard place, right? Is it going to be the kusi, reifa kusi, or the reifa avid kicham or a guy? So which one do you prefer? Says Rameir, take the guy, better than the kusi, because he's just going to take you places you don't want to go. He's going to take you to Avodah Zarah. His machshava is for Avodah Zarah, right? Yimul Avod Kechavim, rather have the guy do the milah, va'al yimul kusi, rather than the kusi, because his intention is for Avodah Zarah. So right away you see, Rameir allows a guy to do milah under certain circumstances. Rabbi Da'imer says, no, I wouldn't trust a guy. Yimul kusi, prefer the kusi over the guy, va'al yimul Avod Kechavim. So it's a straight out contradiction. Eifach. Clearly, we have to switch the names around to align it with Rameir's opinion stated earlier. Rameir, take the kusi rather than the goy for safety concerns, right? Rameir, yimal kusi v'lo yavid gecham. Rabbi Da'imer, as long as there are people around, yavid gecham is better than a kusi who has the wrong intentions. V'lo kusi. Okay, so far so good. Here comes a problem. You're telling me, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can allow a guy to do milah? Okay, there's no safety concerns, there are people around, but as we're going to see in the coming brayse, Rabbi Yehuda disallows a guy to do milah for religious reasons. He's not qualified. Only a yid can do a bris milah. It's just the way it is. So Rabbi Yehuda allow a guy to do milah? But Tanya, we have a brayse. Rabbi Yehuda omer menayin lamila ba'ovid kecham shipsula. How do we know that a guy cannot do bris milah for a yid? Shenamar, the pasuk says va'atas brisi sishma. Hashem is instructing Avraham Avinu and his descendants. Only you carry out this mitzvah. Only you can actually implement a bris. It's now really stuck. Okay, says the Gemara, Eloil my sefer, you're right, let's go back and reverse the reversal. Okay? So, in terms of that choice between a kusi or a goy, Rabbi Yehuda will say, take the kusi, but not the goy who's not qualified to do a bris milani yid. Whereas Rameir says, the goy is okay, he holds that this pasuk is not disallowing a goy from doing a bris. The pasuk is simply saying that yidden typically have the bris. We're, you know, bound by this covenant, the goy does no bris. But he can do it for the sake of a yid. Rather than the kusi, who's going to do it with the wrong intentions, and therefore take the goy instead. Okay, but now, as to your question, the original question, what about endangering the well-being of the child? According to Rav Meir, we never trust the guy with these types of operations. And here he's allowing a guy to do a bris milah? The answer is, we're speaking about a professional doctor who has his reputation on the line. He is not going to jeopardize his career and play games. And that's why it's allowed. In this price, we're speaking b'roifei mumcha, a professional doctor. Rashi says, Tosfos says actually, doesn't mean that he has to be a professional mayel. It just means to say, as a person, he's a professional, he's a career man, he's not going to play games. As we have a quote from Rabbi Yechanan, this is an exception. This is an exception. If he was a known professional, it's okay. Asks the Gemara, okay, now let's dwell on another point. In terms of that choice between the goy option or the kusi option, Rabbi Yehuda says, take the kusi option because the goy is not qualified to do a bris. As per that pasuk, va'ata es brisi sishma. The sava Rabbi Yehuda kusi shapidomi. Do you mean to say Rabbi Yehuda allows a kusi to do a bris? What about his inferior motives? Va'atani, we have a brisa where Rabbi Yehuda disallows a kusi because of his ill intentions. Va'atanya, Yisrael molasa kusi. A Yisrael could do milan a kusi, no problem. But v'kusi loy yimal Yisrael. You shouldn't allow kusi to do milan Yisrael. You know why? Because his meal is being done with inferior motives. L'shem ha'grizim, for the Avodah Zarah that he has up on top of ha'grizim. Who's speaking? The Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Rabbi Yehuda in the previous price allow a kusi to execute a bris? Amar Rabbi Yosi, let's first finish the price. Says Rabbi Yehuda's shita. L'shma, the intention plays a critical role. In which case we disallow a kusi. Rabbi Yehuda says, since when are we concerned about what's going on in the mind of the Mayhil? You know, a carbon has to be done with the proper intention, but Mila, as long as he does it properly, intentions are not really important. Ella, rather, says Rabbi Yosi, let him do his job, let him keep on going, do as many bris milas as he wants until he passes out. Elamol v'hoilech ashtetesin nishmas, until he passes out. This is just a derogatory reference to the kusim, who were known troublemakers. In any case, Rabbi Yosi is the one who allows a kusi, but not Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Rabbi Yehuda allow a kusi in the previous brisa? And this was due to the fact that we did not want to switch the names there. We kept it as stated. Rabbi Yehuda prefers a kusi, and here he says a kusi is not qualified. El loylum eifach. Says the Gemara, you know what? Let's go back to the original suggestion. We will reverse the names in that previous price. Kedabchina meikara, as we had reversed, you know, initially, as we had suggested initially. In which case, when faced with two options, goy or kusi, Rameir says, take the kusi and don't trust the guy for concern of the child's safety, which is consistent with Rav Meir's shita all along, right? That works. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, take the guy better than the kusi, who's not qualified, who's not certified because of his illicit intentions. Okay, so far so good. But hold it. Now we're going to get entangled further, because here he's saying Rav Yehuda prefers a guy to do a bris milah, whereas in the next brisa there we had Rav Yehuda Aymer. No, a guy is off limits because of the pasuk va'ata es brisi shishmar. He's not qualified to do a bris milah. Udukokashi said the Gemara, now you have a contradiction between Rav Yehuda in the previous brisa which allows a guy, and Rav Yehuda in the subsequent brisa which disallows a guy. The answer is two different people with the name Rabbi Yehuda. The earlier brisa was plain Rabbi Yehuda, whereas the next brisa, Hahi Rabbi Danasi, it's different Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Danasi, the composer of the Mishnayos, he's the one that holds that a guy cannot implement a bris. Hahi Rabbi Danasi, the son of Rabbi Danasi, Aimer, Menayin, Lamila, Beit Gecham, Shipsla. How do we know that a guy can't be a Moyel? Tamalaimer, Va'atas, Bisi, Shishmer. There you go. Now one more point regarding the disallowing of a kusi because of his lack of proper intention. Amar Rav Chisda Ma'itamid Rav Yehuda. So why does Rav Yehuda disallow a kusi? How do we know that lishma, intention, plays a critical role in the execution of the bris milah? Tichsiv Lashem Yimol. This is a pasuk in Bereishis. In Shema Yisud Beis. Va'asa Pesach Lashem Yimol Loikol Zachar. So Rav Yehuda learns that the word Lashem also connects to the word Himal. So the milah has to be done L'shem Hashem with the proper focus, the proper perspective. L'shem Himal. And that disallows a kusi. Rabbi Yasi says Himal Himal. The pasuk in Bereishis, actually, Bereishis Yud Gimel, Yud Zayin, says Himal Himal Yilud Beischa. So Himal Himal is a redundancy, it's an extra lashon to tell you that, guess what? Even if his mind isn't totally focused in the right direction, he can also implement a bris milah. V'idach aksiv l'ashem himol. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk? L'ashem himol, which indicates that the milah has to be done l'shem Hashem strictly. Hu v'pesach siv. No, says Rabbi Yehuda. The word l'ashem goes back to the previous word pesach. For us, a pesach l'ashem. Yeah, the word pesach has to be done l'ashem. But then it's like a comma, and then it starts again. Himol l'kol zachar. So the bris milah is unconnected to the word l'ashem. Even a kusi is kosher. On the other hand, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with Rabbi Yosi's pasuk of Himol Yimol, which seems to cover, you know, other types of circumstances to allow even a kusi? V'idach nam yoksiv Himol Yimol. The answer is sometimes the Torah speaks in sort of a poetic, accentuating way. Dibra Torah kloshim le'adam. Sometimes the Torah converses, you know, in a way similar to the way people converse, repeating things for emphasis, etc. But certainly a kusi is not called. Okay, let's try to summarize today's daf. Okay, can a yid assist a guy in terms of birthing? So if it's bichinam, no. Bischar, yes, mishum eva. But on Shabbos, is an easy excuse, and therefore it's not allowed. What about to serve, to nurse the guy's child? That's usher under all circumstances. What about to do bris milah? It's only mutter if it's part of the geirus process. What about to benefit from a guy? A geisha midwife. Rav Meir says no under all circumstances. Rabbanan say if it's in public, it's okay, because that would ensure the child's safety. What about to allow a Yiddish child to nurse from a guy? Rav Meir says no, again, for safety concerns. Rabbanan say, barabim it's mutter. What about to get a bris milah from a guy? So again, in private, it's usher for concerns of pikuach nefesh. If it's in public, Rav Meir says it's still not acceptable, because although he can't actually kill, but Krus Shavcha can severely harm the child. According to Rabbanan, if it's in public, it's okay. But according to Rabbi Danasi, we have the Pasuk of Atas Brisi Sishmar, which disqualifies a guy from doing a bris milah on a yid. What about a kusi? who's doing it properly, but his kavana is elsewhere. Rabbi Yisrael says it's okay. You don't need lishma by bris milah. Rabbi Yisrael says l'Hashem himal. Tells us that it has to be done l'Hashem Hashem as opposed to l'Hashem avodah zarah, which disqualifies a kusi. In a way, it's interesting. He's worse than a goy in this respect, as Rashi explained, because the kusi has an agenda. He's doing it l'Hashem avodah zarah because that was their practice. They would do milah on their children l'Hashem avodah zarah, but a goy is totally not on, you know, not on the track of milah. So if he's doing it, he's doing it for your sake, right? Rashi says, "Adai to the Yisrael. I'm just following instructions." Yisrael says, "Do milah." He does milah. Whatever you have in mind, that's good for me too, right? Meaning the guy doesn't have his own track. He's not doing his own independent act. So it's considered a proper bris milah. It's considered a yiddish bris milah, and would be kosher if you're not requiring a yiddish moil, as per the shita of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.